We are going overtime.
Overtime.
We are going overtime right here on the Yaga Diamond Show. This is the division of Dream Chasers Radio. I have one more caller for this evening, and I want to make sure that we get him in because he has been calling in, and the actual radio station has been rejecting his call. So I'm waiting for him to call in, and as I do, you know, we have so many wonderful guests on this show. And if you haven't heard the show, you need to go over to blogtalkradio.com/Dream Chasers Radio. That, again, is Dream Chasers Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to we have other events going on in here. You know, I wanted to say that I appreciate everyone who listens to the show and who calls into the show and who's been on the show. It's a blessing, definitely a blessing. And I'm going to go ahead and wait for our caller. And I apologize ahead of time to my caller when they do call in. I am going to apologize for that because that to me is something that is out of my control, but at the same time, you know, it's something that I need to make sure it doesn't happen again. We have so many wonderful things going on, and you're a part of it. If you're in Sarasota, Florida, this weekend, I want you to go ahead and hop on over Sunday, and it's going to be October the 30th, to the Van Weasel, and join us at givinghungertheblues.org. Giving Hunger the Blues is the organization that raises money once a year. They do this huge event, and they raise money for people in need, and 95 cents of every dollar goes towards charity. We will be on the main stage, and I am a part of a band called Reverend Barry and Funktastic Soul, featuring the Hellacious Horns, but you can just call us Funktastic. So we'll be on the stage at around 3:50, 4 o'clock, per se, but if you want to get those tickets, you can get your tickets at givinghungertheblues.org. Again, that website is givinghungertheblues.org. And I'm just so excited about this next caller. So just waiting for this caller to call in. And as we do that, and we wait for the caller to call in, I would definitely go over a few things that we do on this station. The mission of this station is to inspire you, to go after your dream and not to be, discouraged so much so that you can't even see beyond the trials and tribulations that you're going through right now. And you know, there are going to be trials, there are going to be difficulties, there are going to be ups and there are going to be downs, and that's just the way it is. Going after your dream, doing just regular everyday life is like that. So, you know, I want to make sure that you understand that you're going through this for a reason and you will go through it. And now that I see my caller, I want to go ahead and get my caller. I apologize first and foremost before we get started about that. I had no idea. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is S.D. Moore, author of Wicked Prayers.
Yes, definitely, Ms. Moore. I am apologizing because that's something that we were there, we were waiting, and we didn't get any clue that you had called in or anything. And again, I apologize for that. Now, you do have your audiobook, and you write horror movies or horror novels, which hopefully will be movies.
A horror novel, and I hired a professional actor, Richard Fish, to voice the audiobook for Wicked Prayers.
Wow. So tell us about Wicked Prayers.
Well, it's an action-packed, fast-paced horror novel. It takes place in this imaginary town called Autumn Town, Washington. It begins when a woman named Sarah engages in the practice of water gazing, where she takes a letter that she's written to her dead sister and places it on top of a glass of water. The water is used as a conduit. And let me back up a little bit. I came up with this because of some things that happened to me in my childhood where I witnessed a woman engage in this practice. And so I figured I would explore it in good old horror novel fashion. So once Sarah does this, she opens this door. And my question was, what if the woman that I watched open this door let something evil in? And so that's what happens in the story of Wicked Prayers. And once all hell breaks loose, Dale Cameron, a detective, and his partner, Jack Richards, along with a band of unusual heroes, get together to thwart this evil creature and his infectious leapers.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, now you got to understand, I am the wuss. I am the biggest wuss. I'm like the biggest wuss there is. Wow. But there are people, I mean, I will watch or I will listen to a horror thing, and the next, you know, I'm screaming and running all over the house. But I love a good horror book. I love a good horror. I love to listen to people talk to me and tell me about books. I put them in my car. What made you write this kind of a book, though?
Well, there are a couple of things. Like I said, as a child, I was probably about 15, and our house burned down, and it was easy to place my brother and sister, and so they went elsewhere. My mother was too sick to take care of us, so the children had to be placed. But it was harder to place me at my age. But this old lady down the street who lived in the house with the overgrown trees and the spooky house, she took me in. And in the front of the house, she had a picture of Christ and, you know, rosary and stuff. But in the back of the house, this old lady actually practiced witchcraft. And so that was pretty much the inspiration for the story. But the reason why I actually wrote the novel in the first place is because I was in the military and I sustained brain damage, and I only have one half of a communication sector. And so I wanted to challenge myself to see what I could do with what I have left. And so thus Wicked Prayers was born. You know, my experiences as a child meets my adult dilemma, and this is how it all came about.
Goodness gracious. Now, thank you so much for saving your country. Thank you so much for fighting for my freedom. My grandfather died in Vietnam, so I kind of, you know, understand the plight of not being over there, but just having someone over there and coming back. You know, you came back. Thank you for going over there. You know, yeah. I was reading a little bit of the excerpt that you have on your website, and on the excerpt in chapter one, you make that so, I mean, like, I'm there. I know you challenged yourself, but how did you figure out the writing style?
When I was a kid, the first horror novel that I ever read was The Exorcist. And I was 10 years old when I read it. And reading it, I know that scared the bejeebers out of me. To this day, I still can't watch the movie because the book was so scary. But the way that it was written in such a way that it was like a movie playing in your mind. And so I figured I would carry on the same type of style and write it like that. And so everyone who's read it that spoke to me about it, they say it's like a movie playing in their mind because of the technique that I used to write it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh my gosh! It's like I had to stop reading it. I'm I'm not kidding you. I'm like, maybe the biggest wuss that you'll ever meet. So you got that writing style from that movie. I don't even want to say it because I think about things. You won an award for this book or for another book?
It was for The Adventures of PJ and Split Pea, volume 2 of that, and I won the first place award for that, a Reader Views Award.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. Wow.
Thank you.
So was that what got you started in your writing and in putting something different out there, you know?
I actually started by writing an Excel book, believe it or not. Well, I take that back. I think the first thing that was published was a poem, and then shortly after that I wrote some lyrics to songs. And so that, you know, as time went on, I pretty much write a little bit in every genre.
Wow. Wow, so you're a proficient writer in every aspect of the way. You don't limit yourself in what you can do.
No. No.
That is awesome.
My mind is alive with many, many movies and books and songs and, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Now, you know, you said that you only have one communication skill, part of your brain left.
One half.
What kind of a challenge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What kind of a challenge does that present to you when you're writing?
Well, if I get too tired, then I make more mistakes. I notice that. So so some of my limitations would be that if I don't rest when I'm supposed to, then I could have some issues with that. Other than that, because of the brain damage, believe it or not, the good side of the brain took over, and so I developed something called acquired savant syndrome. That's why I have so many ideas in my head. And you'll hear about that for people who had to have like half of their brain removed or something because they had epilepsy, or people with strokes and they recover from that, or coming out of comas, any kind of closed head injury, a lot of times people will come out of it with new skills because, you know, you've got the new part of the brain taking over for it. So in terms of writing, I don't have a lot of limitations, but I have more physical challenges because I know that I need to rest, and if I don't, it'll cause a it'll be as if I'm having the stroke all over again or yeah, experiencing brain damage all over again.
Wow. So, you know, you're challenged in that aspect, but when you discovered that you had this new abilities, new talent to just expand your horizons in your mind, how did you feel about that?
You know, initially I didn't know what was going on, you know, because I wrote the poem and it wasn't that big of a deal to me because it wasn't that good. But then when the songs came, I mean, I could hear the melodies, and I'm talking like 30 different songs. I'm talking R&B, a little bit of jazzy stuff, a little bit of country. That's when I knew something else was going on. I can't play an instrument, but I can hear the notes and everything in my head. So probably about 1994, I hooked up with the guys who produced the Floaters, Float On. It was Marvin and someone else, and they helped to add music to a few of my songs. And but because I was in the military, one thing led to another, and the music career just kind of went to the wayside. But getting back to your question, it was kind of scary at first, but then I just kind of rolled with, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you go,
I'm a believer. I'm sorry.
I hear that. All the way. I am too. But did you go to the doctor? Did you have like a freak attack moment? Because, I mean, some people may have this going on and they don't understand what's going on. And the program here that we're trying to do is help people to get past that fear, to get past that anxiety, and to move forward.
You know, when I had the stroke, that's when I didn't even know I had a stroke. I was out running with some Marines, and then I went to the doctor because I couldn't spell the word the or very. Something was happening. I was sleeping too long. In fact, I even woke up on the floor at some point in there. But it was, I was so young when it happened, the doctors just refused to believe me or accept that I was having these challenges. And so as time went on, I kind of retrained myself. I started reading about, okay, so if you had these kinds of issues, then what do you need to do to help yourself? As time went on, I got a little bit better. I went to the doctor again to try to get some assistance. But it was kind of complicated. This was the 90s. I was in the military. I was relatively young. It was very difficult to get assistance. But I continued on anyway. Once I was able to write, I just continued on. I mean, you know, it was one of those things where I don't believe in giving up. It was, you know, I had a rough childhood. I don't want to get into all of that, but I just believe that I was put here for a reason, and if the stroke didn't kill me, it meant that I needed to continue on doing what I needed to do. Okay?
Mm. Mm. Now, did you eventually get treated for that stroke, or you just self-treated yourself?
Eventually, I did. I came across some neurologists who that's how I found out that I only have one half of the communication sector left, because they did the in-depth MRIs and CAT scans. And finally, I started getting medication and everything else to actually help me. But by then, I mean, there wasn't much else to do. You know, they're not sure what caused it. It was one of those things where I was in Iraq. When I came back, I started having severe headaches, and it was a bit of a mess. But regardless of how it happened, it did. It is what it is, and you know, you just have to keep on living.
Right. Definitely. Wow. So your book. Okay, let's get back to your book. Your book is out. Am I correct? Wicked Prayers. And exactly where can people get this book, and how can they get in contact with you?
Well, the book is for sale on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available in Kindle, Nook, e-reader, Kobo. And, of course, the audiobook is available through iTunes, Audible, and Amazon. They can also get in touch with me through my website. That's S as in Sam, D as in Diamond, SDMoreAuthor.com. And I'm also on Facebook, and, you know, I have about 7,600 followers on Facebook, and so I try to offer a little bit of horror, a little bit of food, and a little bit of inspiration. That seems to be a good combination.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, you've gone through a lot, you know, just, you know, from what I've heard, just going over and then coming back and doing all the recuperation from the stroke and everything. Your book, how would I say this? Most people say they have a baby, that this is what their baby is. This is their dream. How important is this book in your life at the moment as a person who's accomplished something?
It took a lot to write this, and let me tell you some of the secrets about Wicked Prayers and why it's such an important baby for me, so to speak. I incorporated a lot of the Bible in it, believe it or not, but the way that I did it was I created the creature from the book of Job, chapter 41, straight up the Leviathan, straight out of that. But the book isn't preachy, though. It's more like if you think about the book of Eli and how they incorporated the word in there, but at the same time it wasn't in your face preachy. So there's a lot of that. Well, I wouldn't say a lot of that because it's got a lot of gore. It does have some supernatural erotic scenes in it. It has a lot of challenges. The other aspect is that I name most of the characters after my Facebook friends and family members. One of the characters is a real-life war hero, Michael Zanders. And he gave me written permission to use his name and likeness. And so I pretty much played him off of fictional characters. And he actually earned a Bronze Star for rescuing a bunch of people in his helicopter. And they couldn't get on the helicopter during this big gun battle in Iraq. And so they had to hang on to the outside of the helicopter as he flew them out. And I actually put that inside of Wicked Prayers and played that off of fictional characters.
Oh, my goodness.
So Wicked Prayers is it's a combination of a lot of different things. But you've got just regular folks fighting this supernatural evil. But like I said, it is violent. It is a bit gory, but it's got a lot of suspense. It's got mystery, and it's got some elements of the Bible in there with a little bit of humor.
I like that because, I mean, that's something I can relate to, especially my chicken self. now, I'm sorry. It's just true. I don't cover it up. Everybody that's ever had a horror or anything knows how much of a chicken I am. But I watch them anyway, and it's like, wow. But these people... these are real life situations that they had that you put into the book to represent them. My goodness.
Well, the Michael Zanders part is there are a couple of other areas in there, but for the most part, it's fictional. These are the names of real life people. If you read Wicked Prayers, you know it's real fictional. So.
Okay. But okay, so I understand that. I got it. But even to be a part of the book and to be in the book, isn't that inspirational within itself that someone would want to put you in their book and use your likeness and your name?
Especially for Zanders. Yeah, the rest of the folks, my Facebook friends, they were honored, because I wrote them all and asked them if it would be okay for me to use their name and create a fictional character. And so they'll respond back, oh, yeah, I'm honored. A couple of the females actually said, ooh, kill me good or kill me gloriously. Yeah, they were all into this. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that must have been fun within itself. My goodness gracious, wow. So the book, you're doing your book, you're going around, you're selling your book. What has been the biggest challenge besides writing the book for you during this time for,
Marketing. You would think that your family members and your Facebook friends would all share and get out there and help to promote it. It doesn't work that way, folks. So for entrepreneurs who are thinking about doing something like this, let me tell you, it's you're not going to get that kind of support that you think you're going to get. That was probably the hardest part for me. Yeah.
Wow.
But,
that's so true.
I'm sorry.
I said that's so true.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say, though, regardless of that, because, I'm a believer, like I said, and so this didn't come from anywhere, and so it was meant to go somewhere. Regardless of that, I've been able to build a large fan base, and the book has actually reached such high ranking on Amazon that it actually beat out a couple of Anne Rice's books, audiobooks this morning, and Dean Koontz, about three of Dean Koontz's books, and one of Clive Barker's. But it's kind of dropped back down now, but it was like 200, ranked at, 240-something this morning. So there you go.
Congratulations. Even to say that, even for that moment in time, that's a great accomplishment. I mean, congratulations on that. Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
So are you planning on a sequel? Is this a series?
Yes, yes. In fact, I've started writing book two, so yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, then that means you have to be on the show again.
Okay, yeah. I think I requested to play a little bit of Wicked Prayers, the audiobook, and I don't know if we have enough time, but maybe your listeners may be interested in listening to a little bit of Richard Fish, the professional actor, deliver Wicked Prayers to you.
Wow. I'm looking at it, and I don't see where there was an MP3 file on here.
Oh, no. Okay. No, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I could have kind of played it a little bit, just the same way you could hear me. I could play it aloud for you. But
yes, that would be great. Can you do that?
Yeah, sure. In fact, I already have it queued up. So
awesome.
What do you want, maybe 2 minutes or 1 minute or something?
Yeah, well, however long you want to do it, it's fine by me.
All right, so let me just let you listen to a little bit of chapter one, since you kind of read that a little bit, of Richard Fish delivering Wicked Prayers.
Neither shall thou evoke the spirits by way of wicked prayers, for some prayers are not meant to be answered. In memory of Lieutenant Colonel Retired Michael Jones, all Mushu ain't good Mushu. R.I.P., dear friend. Prologue. Harry Wilson stands motionless in the mausoleum, staring at the gravestone of his beloved Sarah. The inscription reads, "To my dearest Sarah, your day of birth, your day of rest, February 29th, an odd day." He stands alone, as he has for the last hour since the funeral party dwindled away, pondering why Sarah was taken from him. Why did she have to die? Harry quietly sobs as he reflects back 1 week earlier on the last happy memory in his life. The recollection plays in his mind like a late-night movie. He and Sarah had been sitting in their living room, occasionally listening to the evening news, while they went over the plans for Sarah's 50th birthday party. Harry recalls how she responded whenever a storekeeper asked for her date of birth. "February 29th, an odd day for an oddball," Sarah quipped. She often thought she was being funny, but many of the elderly people in Autumn Town are quite superstitious, and usually shot her dirty looks. Sarah detested surprise parties, so she thought she'd plan this one herself. Besides, this way she could ensure all of her friends would be invited, and not just the ones Harry got along with. Sarah always thought his attitude toward others could be as wicked as the sins he preached against on early Sunday mornings.
Okay, I think that's enough.
Oh, I was into it.
And that's the calm part, because I really didn't want to play the more gory areas. So, because maybe your listeners may not be into it. But Richard Fish, oh, I'm telling you, this actor does a phenomenal job with Wicked Prayers. Mm. And like I said, it's being well received around the world.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, yeah. You know, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And, I mean, I am so happy that we got you on and that everything is taken care of. For Wicked Prayers, tell people once more where they can reach you and where they can purchase the book.
Again, you can get Wicked Prayers on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available in Kindle, Nook, Kobo, e-reader. I think it's Google Play. It's also available there. And if you go to my website, sdmooreauthor.com, I list the various places where you can get it. And, of course, it's available in audiobook through Audible, iTunes, and Amazon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show and for your patience. I was into it. I forgot I was on the radio.
Well, okay. That's the team part, so careful now. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Right. Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
It's wonderful. I mean, I've had a couple of guests on the show today that have made me just totally forget that I was on the radio. And that's wonderful. I love it because that takes me off into their place where they are at. And that's the whole purpose of what they've done, the music and the books and the writings. I want to thank you for tuning in to Dream Chasers Radio. This is the vision of Dream Chasers Radio with Yaya Diamond. And we've had such a wonderful, wonderful show today and wonderful guests. Again, if you haven't heard the shows today, you can listen to this one and then hop on over to Dream Chasers Radio on Blog Talk and listen to that as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. And again, don't forget to continue to dare to be different. Good night, everyone.